Welcome to the Philharmonic Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 7 o'clock British Summer Time. Today is April 3rd, and of course, today being Friday, it's the big picture, long-term audio for the various different asset classes. But first, let's have a review of this week because, golly, it has been eventful. This was a week in which we saw some really rather impressive upward dynamics right across a whole slew of markets. I think it's fairly safe to say that it's almost every stock market in the world has pushed upwards this week. Earlier this week, we did see the yen getting a little stronger on Monday, but it weakened throughout the rest of the week, and against pretty much every currency that we have in the chart library, we see that the yen is getting weaker in here. And this has also been a week in which we saw quite a lot of weakness coming through in government bonds. We see that the US Treasury is currently down 2 full points. It finished on a key reversal yesterday, and today is providing some follow-through. But government bonds remain a very uncertain area, even though we can stand here or sit here and talk till we're blue in the face about the bearish case for bonds. We still have the elephant in the room that governments can push out their quantitative easing barrels and print money and buy these bonds with abandon in an effort to keep down the yields. So there is certainly an overhang of paper out there, but it is probably a risky endeavor to go shorting bonds at the moment. And of course, they are getting that bit of weakness because you have the relative strength of the stock market attracting investors towards that area. This has also been a week which was relatively strong for a number of the commodities. For example, we saw oil up over $3 yesterday, relatively steady in here today, but certainly consolidating well around this $50 level. And that's towards the upper side of this base formation that it has been putting in over the last 6 months or so. And we also saw significant relative strength in copper. It's up almost 10 cents in here, up to $2 now, almost up to $2 now. Touched it briefly today. But this is a quickening of this nascent uptrend in copper. We also see that platinum is showing relative strength, remains very consistent. It has tended to have these rather long consolidations, but as the realization that this is a consistent trend feeds through to investors, we would expect that those consolidations become shorter in terms of the amount of time they go sideways for the simple reason that there will be increased participation. So it does look like that platinum is about to start pushing upwards once more. And the dollar is weaker in here today, but had been a bit firmer earlier on in the week. And we continue to see that the safe havens that people have been looking at are coming under pressure. The one I haven't talked about yet is gold. Gold was weaker yesterday by over $20 and is weak again today, down just over $9 at 894. And it's an awkward phase for gold because we're in this period where other markets are competing for attention. So the momentum trade is moving away from what were deemed to be safe havens and towards riskier assets such as stock markets. And there is the move away from this worry that we're going to move into a massive deflationary spiral, that the Depression too is upon us, and the need to have gold as a safe haven against the end of the world is not nearly as powerful as it was. Now, of course, we still have governments printing money with abandon, and that is a fundamental support for gold in the first place because it is real money. But at the moment, that argument is not in the ascendancy, and gold and silver are in this awkward phase where they are consolidating recent gains. In the case of silver, that's above $12, and in the case of gold, it's below $1,000. And there is room for these to pull back a bit further in here. But I think that the the potential of them giving up all of the gains, particularly in the case of gold that it has posted in the last 6 months, is relatively unlikely. But there is certainly room for the volatility that is characteristic of this asset class to continue, and we need to see gold pushing back above $1,000 to suggest that the present consolidation has ended. In the absence of that, we would need to see some upward dynamics that are sustained beyond only a couple of days to really indicate that the bulls have regained the upper hand in here. But this has been a remarkable week for stock markets, and let's focus on that for a while, because we see that markets such as China are important here. The Chinese market peaked out ahead of other markets. It bottomed before other markets. It broke upwards from its base before other markets, and it's showing relative strength in here. We see that related markets such as Taiwan are also doing remarkably well. And when we also look at some of these Asian markets, we can see that the relative performance of their banks is also more or less in line with the performance of the indices. In the case of Taiwan, Taiwan's bank index also has broken to the upside. The same for Korea. And the Indonesian banks have probably been the firmest of the lot throughout the credit crisis. So we continue to see that it was the liquidity crisis that fed through from the credit crisis that really put Asia under pressure. But balance sheets are considerably sounder in Asia than they are in the Western world, and when there is any sniff of recovery, it is these Asian markets that are pushing through on the upside and leading, and they are followed for very similar reasons by Latin American markets. We see Brazil showing remarkable relative strength. We also see that smaller markets like Colombia and Chile and Peru are also showing remarkable relative strength. India was also a market which broke to the upside this week, and that is despite the weakness of its currency, although the rupee does look like it is going to get stronger from here, or at least stop going down. But the Indian market has been plagued by, I suppose rumors is too strong a word, but concerns that it wasn't going to be able to manage its budget, or that its deficits were going to get the better of it. And the performance of the stock market this week does suggest that people are back into the mindset that India is probably cheap down here and worthy of a punt. And there is certainly that type of thinking going on in a large number of emerging markets. But we go back and we look at how the Western European, or indeed Eastern European, as well as the US markets have been performing, and the leading sector has been technology. The Nasdaq broke upwards yesterday and has held its gain in here today. This is important. Of course, technology generally benefits from lower interest rates, and interest rates are down now and they're likely to stay low for a significant period of time. We also see that the Israeli market, which is heavily weighted to healthcare and technology stocks, and that those healthcare stocks are heavily skewed towards the biotech, as far as I know. Well, the Israeli market had a fantastic upward dynamic yesterday to break upwards from the 4 to 5 month consolidation, as did the Nasdaq. So we're seeing technology leading to the upside, and the banks now are starting to at least stop going to go downwards and are beginning to perform at least in line with the market, which has been a necessary precondition for any kind of recovery. So there is certainly all to play for in here. But at the same time, we look at the performance of these Western European and US markets, and they are not touching the upper side of their ranges. The vast majority of them, for example, the FTSE or the DAX or the Dow Jones or the S&P, are pushing back up into their previous ranges, having broken downwards. So these are not the markets we can look to in terms of leadership, that position of leadership, and where we can expect the best performance is going to be in Asia and in Latin America. They're probably not going to be able to do it without the rest of the world at least holding steady or improving, but it's down to this Wall Street leash effect. If Wall Street is steady to rising, which is certainly the case in here, that leaves liquidity out, for the rest of the world to outperform, and that is certainly what we're seeing at the moment. The rally that we've had this week has pressured a large number of the short sellers. What we've had over the last 6 months in particular was anyone who was interested in shorting the market was waiting for a rally and shorting rallies, and that was a very successful trade for a significant number of months, but it's no longer working. And when a trade like that stops working, that forces reassessment. And as we teach at the chart seminar, reassessment equals reversal. And what people start to do is this type of profit erosion for short sellers will keep them up at night. And the solution to that problem is to go and at least reduce the position. So we're starting to see some of these short positions getting reduced, and there is a vast quantity of cash on the sidelines. That cash is probably not yet being utilized, and it is probably still short sellers are driving this market upwards. But all of that cash on the sidelines in those money market funds and in short-dated treasuries is going to be the fuel for the next recovery. Are we there yet? Probably not yet. We certainly have seen that some of these markets in Asia and in Latin America have broken upwards from their bases. There is a lot of short covering going on in those markets. When that short covering finishes and people start to look around and say, well, what has really changed? Then we are likely to come back, pull back, and find support above the lows, hopefully somewhere above this range, and then move into a first step above the base where supply and demand or the bullish and bearish arguments come back into equilibrium and people start to have a real discussion about the prospects for any kind of recovery, and that could be relatively lengthy. For the moment, we see that this rally is quite persistent, and if this is more than a bear squeeze, we would expect this rally to be persistent above all else, because there will be a steady stream of people closing short positions, and you will have increasing numbers of people coming into this momentum trade to drive these markets up faster and further than we've seen in a long number of months. And this is creating the type of characteristic which we look for in a type 2 bottom, which is a massive reaction against the prevailing trend. We've had the loss of downward momentum, and we've had failed downside breaks, which were our early signals for this type 2 type characteristic. And if this market, or if these markets remain persistent on the upside, then this will increasingly look like the massive reaction against this prevailing trend. And right-hand extension when this rally has ended wouldn't be at all surprising given the extent of the economic decline, the slowdown in GDP growth, and the depth of the recessions that are in so many countries. But we also expect stock markets to bottom well ahead of the wider economies. And with the evidence that we have right now, there are a large number, particularly of those markets that are outperforming, that have bottomed. We don't know how long it's going to take before consistent rhythmic uptrends will develop following this short covering rally and beginning of a new uptrends that we see right now, because I still believe that there is time needed for some consolidation. But certainly, markets in the short to medium term can be given the benefit of the doubt to the upside, and it really would need downward dynamics now, and certainly to take out the lows that we saw early this week to question scope for these markets to push on the upside. So this is a game changer, because stronger stock markets have been absent for a long number of months at this point, and we are starting to see relative strength coming through here. There is also some investment demand moving back into the commodity sector for probably no other reason than these things are cheap down here. Oil is at the upper side of what has been a very consistent base formation pattern, it could break to the upside, considering that we have gasoline leading to the upside, and gasoline has often led the performance of crude oil. So we see that the oil contracts are beginning to perform. We also see that grains are pushing towards the upper side of their ranges, and soybeans is in backwardation, up another 20 cents in here today, and testing the upper side of this range near 1,000 cents or $10. So grains pushing to the upside. We also see that sugar is showing relative strength. Lumber, which has fallen disastrously over the last couple of years, is finding support and looks to be pushing to the upside, as is orange juice. Now, the problem, of course, with trading some of these commodities on the long side is that they're trading in big contangos. Now, those contangos aren't nearly as wide as they were back in September, October, but they're still relatively wide, and it makes trading in these things quite expensive beyond holding one individual contract, and that would be a very short-term trade. So there will be people watching these contangos to see if they begin to tighten up, because as we see with soybeans, if they move into backwardation, it makes it much less expensive to hold them on the long basis. And certainly we are looking for improvement in a number of these commodities. Natural gas has been a holdout. It fell back down to its lows, testing them over the last few days, and is currently below $4, around 3.79. Again, that is another market where the contango is quite wide, making long positions expensive to hold, and certainly investors have been shorting rallies over the last few months in natural gas. And the way the contango chart looks, and you'll find it in the chart library, it looks that like at the rollover periods over the last 3 or 4 months, we've seen large short positions being rolled forward into new contracts. And until that changes, there is unlikely to be a surge of demand into natural gas in the absence of some sort of fundamental change that could drive things tighter. When we look at the longer term, the Chinese have a large pool of cash, and they are deploying it aggressively in the commodity sector. We also look at companies such as BHP, which had that big bonds issuance in the last couple of weeks. So we see that people with a direct interest in the commodity sector are bidding for companies. They're looking. I think there was a headline from BHP today saying that it was cheaper to build new mines than it was to go after acquisitions. And they've also said that they were finding the Chinese competing for every asset that they had a thought about taking over. So that's helping to put support under the resources sector. With that type of support under it, it does look like that the big question now is how long will the recovery take, rather than whether there's going to be a recovery at all. The greatest urbanization in history continues apace. The need for infrastructure, not just in these developing economies, but all over the world, is likely to become an even greater priority as stimulus packages hit the ground. And we are hit the ground running, I should say. And the demand for commodities has probably been oversold. So there is certainly room for base formation development in the industrial metals, and certain metals showing relative strength, and those are copper, zinc, and lead. But we also see that nickel had a good day yesterday. It's also firm in here today. And aluminium is also moving into base formation and beginning to improve. So we're seeing the industrial metals performing well, and resources stocks generally beginning to find support. We also see that the strength of the dollar and the yen is giving way. And when we look at the Latin American dollar index or the Asian dollar index, we see that these markets have found support, that all of these, pretty much every currency in the world is getting stronger against the yen and increasingly against the dollar. that a number of the emerging market currencies became remarkably oversold relative to the yen and the dollar and are now beginning to improve. For investors looking around the world at oversold markets and oversold currencies, there's probably hasn't been a better time to begin to edge their way into markets in a long number of years, and there is room for these emerging currencies to improve in line with the better fundamental stories from the better performing markets. Certainly not every emerging market is going to lead the world, but it is easy to identify the ones that are currently leading. And that is something that we can monitor both in terms of the relative performance of these markets and how their currencies are performing. I think going forward, people will have be paying much closer attention to the performance of currencies relative to how the equity indices are performing. We were in a very nice period where the dollar was getting weaker and emerging currencies were getting stronger in line with emerging stock markets, and that trend ended in the middle of last year. And a lot of investors got badly burned and they won't be caught out twice. So what we are now also seeing is that people will do in the coming cycle what they wish they'd done in the last cycle, and what a lot of people will have wished they'd done is sold early. And as we see markets breaking up from bases and entering new uptrends, we won't really be able to say that a recovery is underway until the moving averages start to turn around and point upwards once more, or when markets begin, and subsequently when markets begin to trend and find support during reactions at their moving averages. But that's going to be quite a while from now, because it takes a long time for those averages to turn around. And by that time, markets will be well off their lows. In the meantime, people are going to be looking at these markets and doing what they wish they'd done before, and that's selling early. So when they see markets rallying, they're going to start selling at the first sign of an inconsistency, and that will probably be downward dynamics. And the people who were shorting all the way along will be moving back towards that type of environment and attempting to short rallies. But they will not be as successful as they have been in the past, and the move into an equilibrium where we see first steps above the base could be relatively lengthy depending on the market. Of course, what will begin to become evident if new uptrends begin to form is that buy and hold will come back into fashion gradually. It was going to take time, but over a period of months and potentially years, it will be seen that rather than trading the account, if people were just to buy on the dips and hold on, then they would make more money. But people will resist that temptation really quite vociferously because they have been so badly scarred, and the emotional capital that people build up in a bull market has been depleted significantly in the bear market. It takes time to build that back up, and the confidence needed to hold positions for more than a short to medium term rally is probably not there for the vast majority of investors. And we need to be aware of that type of psychology, because as it starts to change, that's when we'll start to see more consistent uptrends as the number of people selling out on rallies depletes. And of course, when nobody is selling out on rallies, then we'll be much closer to the end of any new type of recovery scenario that may develop. But we can continue to expect that stock markets in Asia and Latin America are going to lead, and China remains our number one candidate as a leader in any type of recovery scenario. With government bonds, you have governments being directly involved in attempting to support them and trying to keep yields low. But there is such an excess of paper out there, and if there is one bubble left in the world that hasn't pricked, it is the government bond market. There is plenty of room for these government bonds to come lower. And there may not be the impetus for governments to become involved if stock markets begin to perform and the sentiment towards the wider economy begins to improve. But as long as quantitative easing remains a priority for governments in a large number of countries at this point, then shorting bonds is going to be a dangerous game. Looking at the commodities sector, well, there's certainly room for recovery in commodities. It's going to be a while, I think, before we see any of these commodities getting back up to the highs that we saw earlier, or well, it's just over a year ago at this point, because a number of them peaked back in March. And gold, having tested its highs in the latter part of last year or early this year, is probably in need of some consolidation in here. But there is still room for gold to appreciate in not just dollars, but in a range of other currencies as we continue to see that governments all over the world are printing with abandon and the competitive devaluation of our currencies continues apace. And with that thought, I will leave you for the weekend, but thank you very much for your time.